Today on the Pastor's Study, a topic of discussion is going to be the world. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for your blessing upon our study today. We consider it an honor and privilege to be able to open up your very inspired, inerrant, infallible words as found in the good old King James Bible. Father, we pray the study today would be an encouragement, would strengthen, would build up the saint of God. And Father, we pray, if there's a lost soul listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him by faith into their heart, believing He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Father, we commit this time into Thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today's topic on the Pastor's Study is the world. Every Christian is called to be a Christian soldier, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. And every good soldier should make it a point to know his enemy well. The Christian has three major enemies, and they are the world, which we'll discuss today, the flesh, and the devil. If you are to be a working, God-pleasing, Spirit-filled Christian, you need a knowledge of these enemies and the dangers they present, along with the methods they use to attack your Christian life and testimony. The next three studies and lessons are to help the student define and identify these enemies and their tactics. Now, when we speak of the world, we are not talking about the earth in the untold beauty of its mountains, seas, forests, and natural wonders. But rather, we are talking about the wicked, ungodly, God-denying, Christ-rejecting, humanistic world system around us, which includes all places, things, and activities of the world that separates us from and oppose the living God. The following are some examples of things a Christian should be aware of in how the world in general is contrary to a holy and righteous God. Since it's impractical to try and list everything, we will just mention some of the major things of the world you and I need to be aware of and avoid. The first one we want to look at is liberalism and secular humanism. Liberalism and secular humanism. The biggest problem in our society today is that people do not fear God. Again, let me say that again. Let me repeat that. The biggest problem in our society today is that people do not fear God. Now, this attitude is brought on by a multitude of problems in our present society. However, at the top of the list, you will find liberalism and secular humanism. These are not just some moralistic or political viewpoints, but rather should be considered a new and dangerous religion. Although there are mild liberals that are not as yet extreme left-wing as the secular humanists, they all reject God and His Word. Now, the word liberal means more than just being broad-minded. It means not restricted or not limited to the literal interpretation of the Bible, according to Webster's Dictionary. It means reform in religion to match a progressive society. In other words, the liberal will change God's rules to match his own modern-day beliefs and purposes. Now, the word secular simply means not religious, not bound to any church or religion. They have their own. The word humanism reflects a philosophy centered on man himself, his condition, accomplishments, goals, and so on and so forth. They are, by and large, atheists, although some are deists who profess some form of God, but still reject the Bible as God's word. They will, however, quote the Bible out of context to prove their own view. They refuse to be limited to God's rules and rationalize their own morals based on emotion and their own warped logic. They believe man can work out his own problems and will eventually progress to perfection by himself. They are concerned with the material things of this life and are not concerned with God or the souls of men. They are socialists politically and don't believe man has enough sense to take care of himself. Consequently, he needs big government to watch over and take care of him. Simply put, they favor a communist system over capitalism. Communism is a two-class government, the rich leaders and the poor. There is no middle class in the communist system as there is in America. Big government loves to have many programs in services the people become dependent on so they can control them. Freedom and liberty, as we know it, is gone, and the common people are ruled by the police state. They are evolutionists and reject the Bible account of God and creation. They trust science rather than God to bring man to his perfection through the evolution of knowledge. The liberal humanist is an extreme environmentalist. While it's good to protect and enhance our environment and wildlife, it is a sin to worship the creation instead of the Creator. In Romans chapter 1, in verse number 25, we read the following: who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God said they are liars. For example, they are more concerned about saving the trees or the endangered woodpeckers, whales, mantis, so forth and so on, than they are about the unborn human babies being murdered every day by abortion. It is not uncommon to see a liberal's vehicle with a pro-choice bumper sticker on one side and save the mantee on the other side. Kill the babies, but save the animals and trees. Unbelievable, isn't it? You see, this is what happens when people reject God and His holy word, which gives laws and precepts to live by. This is a society headed for destruction unless it turns back to God. You see, the liberals ignore God and believe anything is all right if the end result is for the common good as they see it. It doesn't matter if it's against God's law or man's law. In other words, the end justifies the mean. An example of this is several years ago when the anti-hunters were shooting at deer hunters in South Florida. They sat in their deer stands. As they sat in their deer stands, save the deer and murder the hunter. This new religion without God has infiltrated our public education system and is brainwashing our children. We have allowed them to force prayer and even the Word of God out of schools, and the result is an inept education system in shambles. What's worse, it has taken over a higher court system where judges are rewriting the Constitution with opinions and verdicts contrary to that great document our country was founded on. You see, my dear friends listening today, if unchecked, these people will create a secular, godless society. They are ruthless, and you can be assured they will try to destroy anything or anyone in the way of that gold. This new religion is more than just a passing trend and is already well on the way to destroying America. This destruction is being done primarily by eliminating America's Christian ties and destroying our capitalistic system. These are the very attributes which have made America the richest and strongest country the world has ever known. This is a religion, my friends, that promotes a big socialistic government that rules the people rather than serving them. It is anti-God. It is anti-Christ. It is anti-freedom, anti-middle class, anti-marriage, anti-family, anti-gun, anti-hunting, pro-abortion monstrosity that has rejected the light of the Word of God. If God's people in America don't wake up soon, it will be too late. The Christian needs to realize that we are in a serious battle. We need to speak out and fight against the tenets of this new ungodly religion at every opportunity with prayer and the sword of the Spirit. Now let's turn our attention to the eyes and ears as we talk about the world today. The eyes and ears are doorways to the soul. what Christians allow to enter the eyes and ears can be a great help or a tremendous hindrance to their spiritual growth. For example, the type of music you listen to is extremely important. The devil has used music for years to draw people away from God. Rock music is the worst, most of it being absolutely demonic. And there is no such thing as Christian rock. The devil's message through this message is often subliminal. In other words, not noticeable to the conscious mind, and enters the subconscious mind, doing the damage without your being aware. But it's not just the music that you need to be cautious with. Be careful of anything you listen to and allow to enter your mind. Feed the mind with spiritual and godly material. Not the junk of unsaved people and the world. They worship the wrong gods. What you see and those things that enter through the eyes is also extremely important in keeping your temple clean. Remember, the body is a temple of the indwelling Holy Spirit for all that are saved. We read the following in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So if you are to keep your temple clean and in order, you must be careful with television and movies. Without a doubt, these are the greatest sources of spiritual pollution in America today. Granted, some movies can be entertainment or educational tools with proper content. However, the Christian must be very careful of the programs they watch and allow their children to watch. You see, the mind is affected by what goes in through the eyes. And unfortunately, there is plenty of trash around today. The subject matter that dominates the visual media today is centered around sex and violence and serves as a primary source for this garbage. The media promotes pornography, adultery, sexual perversion, fornication, sex outside of marriage, foul language, the use of drugs and alcohol, violence and murder. It is spiritual suicide to let this trash enter your mind through your eyes or any other way. It is not only bad for adults, but the results of children viewing this trash is tragic. Children as young as 9 or 10 years old are having sex, stealing, and even murdering their schoolmates, brothers, sisters, and parents. Many later admit that they learned how to do it on TV. The adult Christian must realize that such programming is produced by unregenerated mankind, lost people, for the purpose of making money, and is extremely harmful to your relationship with God. Don't let it be your personal downfall. Written material. Naturally, there are numerous other ways you can allow the wrong influences to enter your eyes. There is as much or more written material that is ungodly as there is in the visual media. Although the average person does not read as much since TV was invented. Nevertheless, you must be just as careful of the written garbage as the visual kind. Whether you see it, hear it, or read it, the subject remains in your subconscious mind and can return to cause problems later. Everyone has sinful images from the past that pop up on occasion. But if you don't put them there in the first place, you don't have to worry about them coming back. Let's talk a little bit about the mouth. The mouth. The mouth is also a doorway for worldly things such as alcohol, drugs, unhealthy foods, and so forth and so on to enter and harm the body. Again, we need to remember the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit after we are saved and should be kept in subjection and free of unclean things. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Let's look at people and places. People and places can be your best friend or your worst enemy. You see, who a Christian associates with and the places they go will determine their spiritual condition. If you associate with people who are not living the Christian life, their bad habits will rub off on you. You cannot expect to quit some of your own bad habits if you hang around with those who still engage in them after you are saved. There is just not enough willpower. The same goes for the places you go. It is simple. Stay away from people and places of temptation or bad influence so that you may stay out of trouble and so your spiritual growth will not be hindered. That means not to have fellowship with lost people. The scriptures tell us, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. And also, do not even fellowship with Christians who are not living right. The scriptures tell us this. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which ye received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. You can, however, deal with the lost to get them saved, or the backslidden Christians to get them to repent and come back to Christ. You just can't fellowship with either. And if they reject this attempt for the help, you need to stay away from them, but continue to pray for them. Amen. There is no way to be in fellowship with God while you patronize the wrong people and places. The key is to replace these bad elements in your past life with Christian people and places. Search until you find a good Bible-believing church and involve yourselves and your family in that work and with those godly people. A good rule for determining what you do or the people and places you patronize would be to ask yourself the question, would I do this if Jesus were here with me? In fact, that is a good question to ask about anything. Remember, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15, verse number 3. Understandably, these are some of the hardest things a Christian must do, especially when first saved. Americans are used to being entertained, and it's hard to limit what we watch and read, change our lifestyle, and the people and places we spend time with. However, these are extremely important disciplines in the Christian life, and you will never grow spiritually until you have control of these things. God will give you something better to replace what you have given up for Him. In closing, some final thoughts on this subject. Jesus warned that the world would hate us, the born-again child of God, just as it did Him. He said in John 15, verses 18 and 19, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world, the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Notice in the scripture that Jesus said he had chosen us out of the world. In other words, he has called us out to be different. He wants us to be separate and set apart, sanctified from the sins of the present world. We are not to be partakers of the things others say is all right when God says it is wrong and sinful. We all know that the world is full of temptation and has many things to covet and occupy our minds if we are not careful. However, we cannot allow the things of the world to come between us and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture is very plain on this subject. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Where is your heart today? Is your time, your money, and your mind consumed with your desires for the things, lusts, and pleasures of this world? Are you more concerned with the creation than the Creator? Who do you love the most, Jesus or the things of the world? Is there ever any evidence in your life to prove you love Jesus the most? Or better put, is there even enough evidence in your life to convict you of being a born-again Christian if you are on trial? Remember his instructions. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. With these break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study today. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today on the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.